You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
I had a season in my life where I said no a lot. I said no a lot. And I'm telling you, as I stand up here, those were the most difficult years of my life. The years when I said no were the years that I seemed to struggle the most. There's just something about saying yes to the Lord. There's something about stepping out in faith.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
Isn't it amazing when we take our eyes off of us, off of our situation, and we look to the Lord, we put our eyes on Him, our burden just gets light. It's like we forget about the thing that has been haunting us or tormenting us or weighing us down when we put our eyes on the Lord. The Bible says that it's His anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Our New Year's resolution isn't going to fix our problem. Our being resolved to do things differently this year than we did the last year, it's not going to fix the problem. We can't will it enough. It's His Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so, God, I thank you that this is a new year, a new opportunity, Lord, to come before you. Your word says that if we're weary and we're burdened, to come to you, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so, Lord, we come to you. We come to you and we lay it down at your feet and we take our eyes and we put them on you, intentionally look to you, take our eyes away from the thing that is stressing us out, the thing that's distracting us and keeping our heart that's placing above you, making it an idol, Lord God. And we put our eyes back on you tonight, Lord, and we thank you that you are faithful. Thank you for your presence, Lord God, that you're here with us tonight. Thank you, Lord. So tonight we're going to have John Anderson come up. John Anderson, I feel like I've known you for at least 20 years or so. I have a lot of respect for John Anderson. John, in my opinion, is one of the pillars in this church and in this community, and a spiritual father to many of us, and he has been to me. And so I'm just really encouraged to hear what he has to say tonight. I believe that God gives seed to the sower, and so he's going to be faithful to give to share with you what God's given him, and it's up to you. You get to decide what you do with that, what kind of soil you're going to be. So, anyways.
Good evening. Thanks for coming out this evening. I think I want to take the time that we have left together to just kind of recap what I believe the Lord's been speaking to us over this last year, over 2024. I mean, many of us recall, as pastors preached many, many months ago, about the fact that when you raise your hand or you ask Jesus into your life, you're not getting on a cruise ship. You're getting on a battleship. The pastor spoke to us about a process just a few weeks ago, and how a Christian walk is a process. I'm going to talk tonight about life being a battleground and what that means. He shared the Lord was wanting to speak to us about our perspective, to shift our perspective from where we have been or where we are to where He desires for us to be. When I read that, was reminded of that, I was also reminded of we've been reading in one of our men's group, we've been going through this book. It's called When the Chisel Hits the Rock. And when I read that, it kind of drew me back to this moment. I'm just going to read a couple paragraphs of this book for you. It's in John 1:42. It says, "You are Simon, you shall be called Cephas. Andrew brought his fisherman brother Simon to meet Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth. As they approached one another, their eyes met and held. For a long moment, Simon felt he was being searched through and through by that piercing yet understanding gaze. At last, Jesus spoke as a man, and yet more than a man. The words were quiet, and like his look, they went to the very depths of Simon's being. Simon felt that this stranger knew him intimately. His eyes gripped and his words probed to Simon's innermost soul. And Simon knew he would never be the same again. "You are Simon, the son of John," the stranger said. "You will become so different that people will call you by another name, Cephas," or Peter, "a rock." Two short, simple statements left Simon feeling totally exposed, yet amazingly assured. For what he had just heard was the totality of God's message to man. "You are," he knows who we all are. He knows who we were. "You are," that's the diagnosis, "and you shall be," the word of promise. So if you remember nothing else tonight, here's what I want to impress upon you. I want you to picture yourself being in that same position. And Jesus, you walking up to Jesus, and before you're even introduced, he knew who you were. "You are Jim. I know who you are. I know who you were. And I know everything about you, and I know who you will be." I want you to kind of grab that for yourself, because Jesus has done that to every one of us. Every one of us that has opened our heart to him and said, "Yes, Lord, forgive me of my sins," he has spoke those words to you. He said, "You are. I know everything about you. I know your father. I know every mistake you've ever made in your life. But I know who you shall be." That's what this message tonight's really all about. Pastor shared from the word, Luke chapter 2. There was a process that even Jesus had to follow to fulfill the promise. Even Jesus could not escape the process. Many of us are in a process wanting it not to happen. We want to avoid the process. We learned that we can't abandon the process. The process is necessary to receive the promise. If Jesus needed to walk through the process, how can we avoid it? That's what Pastor shared with us just a few weeks ago. Jesus is trying to change perspective to allow you to go through the process, not abandon the process. He shared that the way we change our perspective is by getting behind Jesus. Do you remember that? Facing the way he is facing, not with our back to him. Looking back, facing all of the things, or looking at all the things that pulls us down. He wants us facing forward to see what he sees. Life's a battleground, and the sooner you accept that truth, the easier it will be to win the battle. We didn't get on a cruise ship. We are in a battle. Satan is after us because we are seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. We have all of the resources and riches of the resurrected Christ available to us. We are like the people of Israel that have moved into the promised land, the land of rest, the land of milk and honey, and they claimed their victory. And then, when the next generations came along, they lost their territory. Why? They did not stand. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That word "wiles" gives us our English words "methods," the methods of the devil, the craftiness of the devil. Ephesians 4:14, "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men in the cunning and craftiness of the deep, deceitful plotting." What are we being told? What are you hearing when you hear that? We better grow up. I hope that's what we're hearing. We better grow up. Children are very naive. They will believe anything or anybody. Children lack the experience or the education to exercise discernment. They are easily led astray, unable to stand. Ephesians 6 tells us that we will be able to stand. How? By taking on the whole armor of God. Verse 13. All of the equipment. We have three responsibilities. One, we must know the enemy. Two, we must use the equipment. And three, we must depend on the enemy. We must depend on the energy that God provides. Do we fully understand that life's a battleground? What's your understanding of God's word when you hear, "The battle belongs to the Lord"? We sing that. We sing those words. The battle belongs to the Lord. We know there's truth in those words, but what's your impression? What's your understanding? What is God saying? Is he telling us when he says that, "The battle belongs to the Lord," get out of his way? He'll fight the battle for us. He will deliver the enemy into our hand. Just stand down. Just step aside. You don't need to engage. In Deuteronomy 21 through 4, here's what he says. "When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And he shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, hear, O Grants Pass, hear, my children. Today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. We are in the battle. 1 Samuel 17:45 through 47. Then David said to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. Psalm of David, 144:1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you are. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that curses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication for me, declares the Lord. Judges 4:14. Then Deborah said to Barak, Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? God calls us to rise up and face our battles with the assurance that he is leading us. He empowers us to act with courage and determination, trust in his guidance, and move forward with confidence, knowing he goes before you. Psalms 18:34, he trains my hands for battle. My arm can bend a bow of bronze. God equips us with the strength and skill we need for every battle we face. He trains our hands and prepares us for victory. Embrace his preparation and know that you are capable through his empowerment. Life's a battleground. Where are you? Are you on the sidelines listening to the giants in your life taunting you, telling you're not good enough or strong enough or gifted enough to be in the battle? Tonight, Jesus is saying to everybody in this room, those are lies. If you trust in me, I will walk with you in the battle and give the giants into your hand. Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. I guess in concluding, what I'd like to share is 2024 was probably a different season for many different people in here. A tough season, you had a good year. We all go through these seasons of life. And as I was reflecting on that, I had to go back a lot of years to when Karen and I first started coming to church here. I came on a Sunday morning, and we came for a Sunday morning for a long time, and then out of the blue, one afternoon, she says, Hey, they got a Sunday night service. What do you think about going to the Sunday night service? My response was, we're already going Sunday morning. Why would I need to go Sunday night? I mean, we're already doing that. What? After a bit of encouragement, I finally said, Okay, we need to try that. We need to do that. And I was blessed. I was blessed. And it wasn't very long after that, she comes and says, Hey, they're having a Wednesday night. There's Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I responded the same way. Why would I need to go on a Wednesday night too? We did. Her encouragement got me there on a Wednesday night. It wasn't very long after that, somebody approached me wanting to be in a discipleship class, Colossians 2:7. My first initial response, like a lot of yous would be, No, I can't do that. I can't memorize. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. Again, after much encouragement and some prayer, I stepped out. My challenge to us, and I've gone through seasons in my life, to be honest with you, there were many, many years when I felt like maybe I said yes too much. And sometimes you do have to say no. You have to have your handle on that. But many, many times in my life, even after having walked for 20 years, I had a season in my life where I said no a lot. I said no a lot. And I'm telling you, as I stand up here, those were the most difficult years of my life. The years when I said no were the years that I seemed to struggle the most. There's just something about saying yes to the Lord. There's something about stepping out in faith. So that's the challenge. That's the thing that I want you. I'm praying that all of us in this room can say yes more next year than we say no. Don't be so quick to respond with a no. When somebody has approached you, you've been laid on their heart, and they're encouraging you into something. At least pray about it. My prayer for us is that as we move into 2025, understanding it's a battle that we're walking in, you can't avoid it. You're going to get nowhere if you do. I can tell you that. It'll be the worst times of your life until you step into the realm where Jesus walks. When you're able to do that, when you're able to walk with him and say yes, this thing about, I mean, I did all of that. Do you think I feel qualified to be up here? No way. This, Keith came over to me just a little bit ago and says, I know you're in your comfort zone. No, I'm not in my comfort zone. Many years ago, please don't pray this prayer unless you mean it. Many years ago, I prayed that, Lord, hear him, I use me in any way that you would choose. I will not walk away from it. God will answer that prayer, and he will take you out of your comfort zone. And the comfort zone is not the place you want to be, not as we walk into this next year, not as we walk into what God hopes to do through us. God doesn't need us. He uses us, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that he would choose to allow us to be part of his great plan. He is going to accomplish the things that he wants to accomplish. And all of the times that I said, and all the difficult moments that I had, God saw all of that, and he walked me through that. But the blessings in my life have come when I say yes. So I guess in closing, if Brooke would come up and maybe we'll worship a little bit in a moment. This is kind of always the hard moment when you're in a place where you've just spoke a word. But I feel very encouraged right now that a lot of us have been saying no. A lot of us know there are things that we can step up and we can step up and do. A lot of the things God's calling in our heart, calling us, touching us, trying to speak to us, saying, will you step up? One of the things Pastor said a few weeks ago, if you remember, step up so you can stand out. Step up so you can be seen. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who art in heaven. Let your light shine. It's not for my glory. I don't want any of that. I don't even want to be seen, but I do want Jesus to be seen through me. When people see me, I want them to see Jesus. I want them to understand there's something different. So a lot of us in this room have been saying no. And I believe as we walk into this next year of 2025, we need to begin to consider saying yes more than we say no. So what I'm feeling right now, everybody's seated right now, this is going to take some boldness. I think that God's speaking to some people in here. You either have been approached or something's been tugging on your heart. You know you need to say yes, but you've been saying, not me. That's not me. So I'm just going to ask, if you feel that's you, it could be one. If this whole evening is just for one that'll say yes, I want to move farther along. I want God to take me where he wants to take me, and I want to be that instrument of righteousness for his namesake. I'm just going to ask you to stand right where you are. If you feel like God's going to move you and work through you and you want to be available, don't stand if you don't feel like you're in that place. But if you feel you're at a place where God is calling you to step out and be more, he knows who you were. He knows your past. He knows everything about you. He knows who you are right now as you sit in this room. But you know what else? He knows who you're going to be. Pastor St. John spoke to us this morning about the past, the present, and the future. I'm standing here tonight saying to you, I'm talking to you about the future. Pastor shared, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press on. I strive ahead. I press on toward the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We move forward. So Father, right now, everybody that's standing, Lord, Father, I just pray an anointing power of your Holy Spirit to fall upon them. I pray, Father, that in this next year, in 2025, Father, that we will be people who say yes to you. Father, we know it's not our strength. We know it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit would fall. You came into this place before us. You prepared this moment for us. This is not an accident. This is ordained by you so we could stand and say yes to you, Lord. We want to be used by you in whatever way you would choose, Father. Speak to our heart. Give us the ability, Lord, to just step out in faith. Father, I thank you for each person that stood. I thank you for this evening. I thank you for who they are. I thank you, Father, that they love you and that they're here. So, Father, we just give it to you, believing by faith that you will work it all out. You have prepared this path in front of us. Lord, we repent for saying no, but we understand in saying that, Lord, that you had a plan and you're going to fulfill it in your time. So we give you thanks. We give you praise. All glory would be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I was on an airplane to India, and I heard the Lord speak this scripture for us for 2025. And it's amazing that you use the analogy of Peter. You are Peter, and you shall be. And here's what he says in Matthew 16, Jesus speaking to Peter. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, will not overpower or overcome it. The Lord said in 2025 Parkway, we are going to attack the gates of hell. And they are not going to overpower us. Here's what it says. I will give you the keys. I'm going to give you the keys to those gates, the authority of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind. Bind means to forbid or declare to be improper or unlawful. Whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose means to permit, declare, lawful, whatever you loose on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. I am thankful for the authority that we have, that Jesus has given us, that the gates that have been found in Grants Pass, that have been set up by the enemy, are not going to prevail against us. And so we're going to take the next 5 minutes, and we're going to bind, and we're going to loose. There's a couple gates that I have been confronted with over the first 2.5 years of me being your pastor. And one of those gates is the gate of religion. The gate that tries to confine pastors and churches to fit in a particular kind of box so that we that want to walk in the authority don't convict the religious in the area. And so what I'm going to declare tonight is that be found unlawful in Jesus' name, and have to be removed from the spirit of this valley, so that what will be loosed, yes, is radical soul winners that are willing to storm the gates of hell. And so we are going to speak against the religious gates that are in this community. That's one of the ones that I faced for 2.5 years. Pastor, you're too radical. You have too much authority. You praying in tongues, you're going to ask people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You mean services have to be longer than an hour and 20 minutes? You mean we have to be spirit-led and founded on the word? Pastor, you need to calm down. And what I felt like the Lord is going to do in 2025 is he's going to take those gates, and we're going to look at those gates, and we're going to say, religious hypocrites, get behind us, and the Spirit of God is going to move mightily in 2025. So will we just take 60 seconds, and when we bind the religious spirit that has so tried to attack this valley, and when we loose with our lips and our authority, revival being loosed in 2025, and let it starting in this room, would you take 60 seconds and would you do it right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You gotta go. That thing that has hindered us is not going to hinder us any longer. We bind it. We cast it out in Jesus' name. Father, we loose your power, your signs, your wonders, your miracles. We loose the awe of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You reign above it all.
Every religious ideology that tries to exalt itself above the throne of God, you take your rightful place and be rebuked in the name of Jesus. Every bit of religious intellect that tries to rise up in pride against the King of Kings, be rebuked in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're alive and you're moving and your word doesn't need our help. That it would go forth in power with the anointing and the authority found based upon us being sons and daughters of you. Hallelujah. The second gate that we have been filling as a leadership team that has hindered our church, and we've said it several times on Sunday nights, but there is a spirit of hesitation that has attached itself to this ministry in church. And what I so loved about John's word is that we're going to leave the spirit of hesitation in 2024, and the spirit of yes is going to come on our church. There are so many people that have been so put in a box. Why, I don't know if I can share that word. I don't know if I can speak this truth. I don't know if I can walk with the word of knowledge or the word of prophecy or the gift of helps. And I believe that the Lord is going to loose us from the spirit of hesitation to the spirit of yes. If you want the spirit of yes to come on you, would you slip up both of your hands towards heaven right now and just say, Lord, give it to me. I say yes. I say yes. It's not my will. It's not my way. It's your will and it's your way. Father, we say yes, here we are, whether it's we're at work or we're at church or we're at youth service or we're at the Edge or we're at Thursday morning seniors group. Lord, we pray right now for the spirit of yes to come upon us. We bind the spirit of hesitation and we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we release the spirit of yes on this church and ministry. No longer will we be hindered by questions of whether or not we should or we could, but Lord, give your children the authority to rise. We thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Felt like I was supposed to ask, those are two of the gates that I've been dealing with since I've moved here, the gate of religion and the gate of hesitation. The Lord, as I begin to share, there is prompting you of the gates that you've been facing in your own life. And I just need one or two bold people to shout out the gates that you're facing that we're going to leave in 2024 and the thing that you're going to be believing for in 2025. Who is it? Who's got the one that they're going to say, this is the gate that I've been facing? Yes.
Hesitation.
Fear. Who else? Pride, religion. What else? What else? What gates are we leaving behind? What is it? Unbelief.
Isolation.
Isolation. Yes. 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 Comfort. Yes. Doubt. Other people's opinions. As a pastor, I deal with that. I love people. And I could be bound by people pleasing. Yeah. I hear that one. Anybody else? Distraction. Yes. You're going to bind those. What are you going to loose now?
Boldness.
Boldness. Yes. What else? What are you going to loose? What is it?
Faith.
Hope. Faith. Yes. Yep. Yes. Isn't it amazing how our mind can go to the gates and what we're going to bind, but the moment we start praying for what we're going to loose, there's the enemy gets us attached to the giant. We're going to loose joy, obedience, servitude. I like that one. Huh?
Freedom.
Yes. you know when you look, you can begin to pray, play that song that John asked you to play. Lord, you're beautiful. We're going to take our attention again off of what we're running from. And we're going to take our attention on what we're running to. And what we're going to do is we're going to lose. It's what I was trying to say on Sunday before I got sick on Christmas Sunday. Joy is not an emotion. Joy is not just even a choice. Joy is a person. And that person is Jesus. And Jesus said, it's better for you that I go because I'm going to give you a helper. And that Holy Spirit's going to empower you with supernatural energy, not just to run from something, but to run to something. How many was hearing Steve Camp's song, Run to the Battle, the whole time that John was speaking? Is that just me? Am I an 80s Christian kid? I'm going to go home in the car and listen to it. Steve Camp, Run to the Battle. We're gonna lose it. What are we going to lose? Freedom and obedience and faith and hope and love. Courage is the opposite of fear. So we bind the fear and we lose courage. You know what the word encourage means? To encourage means to put courage back in. And what the Lord does through his anointing is where courage has been void, he encourages us with his Holy Spirit. And we're going to lose those things. Brooke, would you sing it? And as we sing, I just want us to pray a prayer of freedom and life over each other. Would you guys, instead of just praying for yourself, would you get to a neighbor and pray and lay hands on them and begin to pray that obedience and Lord, courage and hope would begin to be released in them. So Lord, we say yes. Yes to you. Father, we recognize that we're not on a cruise ship, we're on a battleship. And you've given us the authority to knock down the gates of hell and to raise heaven in a community that desperately needs it. We thank you for these wonderful people, Father, protection around them, in them. Father, we pray for our people that aren't here tonight that are battling the floods of the river. And Lord, we thank you for your hand of protection on them. Lord, we ask that you would heal bodies all throughout our congregations right now. Would you send your Holy Spirit to minister? Father, we thank you that your healing is promised in that wonderful book of yours, the foundation of our life, that word of God. And we stand on that word of God tonight, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. This pastor loves you. We'll see you guys. Those of you that are going to be crazy, you'll see at the Edge on, is it Tuesday night? Tuesday night. And if not, we'll see you next Sunday.